They have done very well so far, with the aid of wildly inaccurate predictions made by a bunch of mathematical modellers who've never diagnosed or treated a patient in their lives. They have succeeded in putting much of the world under house arrest, closing down the global economy, shutting schools, exterminating vast numbers of older folk, sentencing millions of untreated patients to death. There was never any reason for any of it, of course. We knew that, and they knew it too. The virus, which was the subject of all this legalized mayhem, was never more dangerous than the ordinary flu. The number of people killed by the prescribed treatment, the lockdowns and the social distancing, will far, far exceed the number killed by the coronavirus. The big question of the moment is, will there be a second wave? And the questions that follow are, will there be a third wave, a fourth wave, a fifth wave, whatever? In reality, I don't believe there should be one. Viruses don't usually behave that way. In my experience, the same flu doesn't keep coming round and round and round again. But that doesn't mean there won't be one, of course. Indeed, they seem pretty certain that there will be. The people who are in control of the coronavirus crime want a second wave because they need to keep us subjugated, but they know that reality is against them. Too many people are already immune. The virus is probably weaker, the weather is warmer, and most of the vulnerable are already dead. In the UK, the hospital bosses have murdered tens of thousands of elderly folk by dumping them, tested or untested, into care homes. It's as if they were deliberately trying to recreate a Typhoid Mary situation without Typhoid Mary. There are already signs of dissent. A relative of one man who died is suing the government, and although I loathe litigation, I wish her luck. Everyone involved should sue the government. They force the elderly and the lonely to stay in their homes, but they deprive them of food and medical care. It was a domestic version of the murderous Liverpool pathway. As predicted, we're now finding the decaying bodies of lonely elderly folk, many of whom probably died of simple starvation. They weren't allowed to go to the shops, and they couldn't arrange food deliveries, and despite all the politicians' promises, no one helped them out. Still, the government won't mind. They'll save several hundred million a year in pensions and healthcare costs. People are getting feisty. They're ignoring the laws and questioning what's going on. There's some concern about the vaccine that's promised, or should that be threatened? People are becoming edgy about the brainwashing, the deliberate creation of fear, the conditioning techniques, the tracking, and the enforced isolation. More and more people understand that we don't usually have a global reset, as some are calling it, whenever there's a touch of the flu around. Governments, however, want a second wave. Everything that's happened is about control, power, and money. And it will be very easy to prove that there is a second wave. Indeed, news reports are constantly warning us that second waves have been spotted emerging in some parts of the world. It'll be so easy to prove that there's a second wave here. And if there was ever a them and an us situation, this is it. They will merely test more people. Many of those who are tested will have the disease but be asymptomatic. It doesn't matter. Was this the reason that they didn't test more people months ago, when the information testing would have provided would have doubtless helped us avoid the lockdowns? Were they keeping the testing until they needed to prove a second spike of the infection? They'll repeat the threats until we're fully cowed and ready to accept whatever they order us to do, until we beg for the vaccine they promise, or threaten us with, depending on your point of view. They've sold the vaccine to the populace at large as a cure, but they don't want the cure too soon. They want the fear to continue. Having said that, it's worth noting that one drug company called AstraZeneca has started making 2 billion doses of a coronavirus vaccine, although the tests for safety and efficiency have not been completed. That shows confidence and a determination to be first, if nothing else. Even Bill Gates, the world's self-appointed spokesman on all medical matters, admits that it usually takes at least 5 years to prepare and test a vaccine. Eventually, of course, there'll be a vaccine because it's the perfect way to force us to accept ID cards, they'll probably call them certificates, or tattoos, and they'll call those implants, or apps, and they'll call those apps. And the vaccine will be compulsory even if they cleverly manage to avoid that word. I believe that if there's a second wave, it'll be deliberately created. They can blame the street demonstrations which the police allowed to take place, even though the demonstrators were breaking lockdown and social distancing laws. This will add to the divisions in our society and it will increase racism. Evil governments want divisions. Back in the middle of March, I described this whole thing as a hoax. My first video, published on the 18th of March, used that very word. The title was Coronavirus Scare, the Hoax of the Century. But since then, it's become abundantly clear that none of this happened accidentally or through simple incompetence, though there's been a good deal of that about. This is all about control, money and power. It seemed to be a hoax, then it became a scandal, and now it's a crime. Nothing is impossible. Anything goes, and if you aren't paranoid, then I'm afraid you aren't paying attention. And the people who want those three things are using the threat of a second wave to keep us cowed. It enables them to excuse every new lunacy, such as the forced wearing of masks. It's a constant threat. If you don't eat your broccoli, you won't have any ice cream. Wait till your father gets home. If you don't behave, you won't be allowed to play outside. If you make a noise, you'll be in detention. If you don't obey the social distancing laws and the lockdown laws, then there will be a second wave, and the social distancing and lockdown laws will be stricter than ever. If you dare to doubt our forecasts, if you speak the truth, we will bludgeon you to death with propaganda and abuse, they hint. And if we need to introduce a second wave, we will make sure that some of the blame lands on the shoulders of those who've questioned what we're doing. The track and trace system is a way to keep people locked up permanently. If they stop us paying by cash, they'll know where we are all the time. And if you visit a shop or a park or a petrol station, it'll be easy for them to say that you were near to someone with symptoms and therefore you must go into lockdown for another fortnight. Oppressing the public is a time-honoured way of managing the public. The Soviet Union kept people obedient with shortages and queues. We've been subjugated with pictures of huge purpose-built mortuaries filled with empty coffins to show us a glimpse of our future. Our world now looks a little like a communist state, but in reality our state is slightly different. We're rapidly acquiring a system with complete state control, forcibly suppressed opposition, close links with and heavy regulation of large companies, the elimination of small companies and the disappearance of democracy. There are elements of nationalism and racism and slavery of the people. All around the world, changes are being made. The European Union, for example, has waived the rules forbidding individual countries from supporting their industries. The result is that the multinationals are now receiving truckloads of taxpayer billions. In 2008, it was the turn of the banks. Today, it's the turn of the airlines and the car manufacturers. Companies which saved a little money and were sensible will not enjoy this bonanza, of course, and small companies will lose out inevitably. But the multinationals who've received the free money will be tied closely to the state which handed out that money. At the same time, big companies have been ordered to stop paying dividends, thus impoverishing the elderly who rely on private or corporate pensions. They want us all to build up big debts because people with debts are vulnerable and can be easily pushed around. Interest rates are probably about to go negative. Wages will fall, property prices will fall, and unemployment will soar. As an aside, small companies have long been targeted by the European Union and indeed by individual governments everywhere because they're considered to be too much of a nuisance and too difficult to control. Government loans made to small companies in an unprecedented loan sharking exercise during the last few months will enable tax inspectors and bureaucrats to delve deeply into each company's accounts. and they'll end up being virtually owned by the state. And these days the word virtually is pretty much synonymous with the word reality, in the same way that the word temporary also means permanent. Politicians, bureaucrats and tax office staff have yet to realise that large companies were once small companies, and that if you crush all the small enterprises, then in a decade or two there won't be any large ones. All that I've just described is the precise definition of fascism, which is of course the close cousin of communism, but in truth rather different. The last few months have been among the darkest days in our planet's history. And when you look at it coldly, it's been an impressive job. The soul of the world is now drenched in darkness. For many, the light of hope has been extinguished. You don't hear many people laughing these days. Smiles have been crushed, either by fear of the oversold flu virus or anger at the way such a modest threat has been deliberately turned into utter chaos. Any smiles which there are hidden behind those masks. Our economy is going to be reset, whatever that means, and I have some ideas. And we aren't going to be controlled, and we're going to be controlled by apps on our smartphones. Those who don't have smartphones and the obligatory apps will become non-citizens. Neil Ferguson of Imperial College, the mathematical modeller who appears to have led us down into this doom-laden hellfire scenario, seems to me to be about as convincing as that little Swedish girl who was all the rage a few months ago. They seem to me to have much in common, arrogance, ignorance, and a yearning to be in the spotlight. Maybe the two of them could join up as a joint entry in the next Eurovision Song Contest. They could put together a rousing performance of Puppet on a String. Picking the Eddie the Eagle of Sums to front the scam shows the level of contempt in which we are held by the people who've planned this takeover of our lives. Although he resigned after breaking his own lockdown rules, Ferguson recently told a parliamentary committee that the number of UK deaths could have been halved if the UK had gone into lockdown a week earlier. He admitted, however, that he had no proper scientific basis for this extraordinary claim. It seems to me bizarre that anyone still listens to Ferguson. If he were a child at school, no one would bother to copy his homework because it would be wrong. The only thing he seems to be good at is selling himself. Ferguson originally forecast that there would be 510 deaths from the coronavirus in the UK. Not 509,000, note, not 511,000, but 510,000. The precision. And in America, he forecast that there would be 2,200,000 deaths. As I said right at the beginning of this whole farce, his estimates were always absurd. It's worth noting that South Korea, which has a population of 50 million, has had around 300 deaths nationwide. And South Korea had no lockdown. The organisers of this mayhem are doubtless well pleased with themselves. They've disrupted billions of lives and created terror and global chaos. No terrorist group has ever been as effective. But then this scam was organised by people who already had unlimited supplies of money and power. Populations everywhere have accepted the story that we're fighting a war against a plague-like virus that threatens the entire planet. It's science fiction, but it's been presented as news in the way that Orson Welles presented the War of the Worlds on American radio, terrifying the millions of listeners who believed the story. Britain is now the worst governed and least democratic state in the Western world. The rich, who are not in on the scam, are quitting the UK in droves. The loss to the government in terms of tax take is going to be phenomenal. Government ministers who don't know what's going on, and I suspect that's most of them, are blundering around, struggling to understand why everything is going wrong and putting all their energy into attempting to cover up their ignorance and their incompetence. Early on, the specialist scientists, as opposed to the mathematicians, knew that this was not a new version of the plague. The bug was downgraded to flu level before the lockdowns began. It was clear from the start that lockdowns and social distancing laws were not necessary. But just look at how successfully governments have terrorised their voters. School teachers and parents are scared out of their wits. And if the absurd social distancing laws are maintained, there's a very good chance that schools and colleges will never open again, certainly not in any meaningful way. A generation of children who should now be at school looking forward to their summer holidays will be frightened for their lives. They'll be so consumed with ingrained fear, so scarred psychologically, that they'll never be able to form proper close relationships with other folk outside their immediate family. If and when the schools reopen, they'll never be back to anything resembling normal. There's a good chance that many children will never finish their education. Is this a government plan? Providing less education will cost less money, and young people who are illiterate and innumerate are, of course, easier to control and far less likely to be troublesome. Besides, there won't be much need for skilled workers in the future. Unemployment is going to stay, and millions are going to be entirely dependent upon the government for their daily bread. This is no accident. In whatever sort of future we have, robots will do most of the tricky work. Robots are being trained as baristas and waiters and nurses and doctors and cooks and anything else you can think of. If you have a job, a robot can probably do it and probably will. Though, come to think of it, I doubt if they'll program one to be a dissident. Anyone who wants to study will be told to take advantage of distance learning software. Parents who work will be working at home, and students who study will be studying at home. Think of the money the government will save. Shops have been closed for so long that many will struggle to survive, as absurd social distancing rules means that they can't operate normally, or anywhere near normally. And in closing public loos, the councils have done their best to ensure that by Christmas, high streets everywhere will be decorated with nothing more festive than estate agents' boards. We'll all be doing our shopping over the internet. Those who don't have access to the internet will simply starve to death, as they have already been doing. Reports show that people are killing themselves because they're frightened that they have the bug or frightened that they might catch it. It's just like the terror that was falsely created over AIDS in the last century, when for a while the number killing themselves because they were terrified seemed to exceed the number dying from the disease. The curious thing is that the people who are panicking over the coronavirus handle their recycling bins every week with bare hands, apparently not caring that the dustmen, consultant recycling experts, who pick up their recycling bins have also picked up several hundred other recycling bins. And so the bins are all smothered with all the bugs from all the hands of all the people who've touched them. I would estimate that recycling bins and wheelie bins cause more infections than railway loos and £5 hookers. Thousands of GPs have virtually shut their surgeries, convinced by the lies rather than by the evidence. They're so terrified that they deal with patients by telephone. And on the rare occasion when a face-to-face meeting is unavoidable, they wear the mask, the visor, the gloves and the smock. They clean their surgeries between patients, and they never touch patients without wearing gloves. It doesn't seem to have occurred to doctors that such a deeply unpleasant experience is for most patients so scary that they'll avoid visiting their local GP, not because of some perceived risk, but because the process is severely forbidding. Dentist surgeries were shut for months, and now 40,000 people a day are joining waiting lists for urgent treatment in the UK. Like GPs and hospitals, the dentists say they can't get hold of hospital quality surgical masks and so on, but you can buy the stuff properly approved on the internet. Millions are so scared that they will accept facial recognition, iris scans, implanted vaccines and slavery with enthusiasm. They want a cashless society, and they're happy to be zombies living half-lives, if they can be promised that they won't die of the plague. If the scientific advisers tell them that the only way to survive is to stand on their heads in a bucket of horse shit, they'll do so with enthusiasm. And the scientific advisers and the mathematicians will, of course, happily provide the horse shit. A fifth of the population are so consumed by fear that they wash their cash with soap and water or disinfectant wipes, but never dream of washing their wheelie bin handles or the sides of their recycling bins. At least it gives a whole new meaning to the term money laundering. Since April, I've been warning that there's going to be a global food shortage, and although this is inevitable as the oil runs out, it's difficult to avoid the conclusion that this has been engineered to keep us fearful and obedient. The electric vehicle enthusiasts will claim that it's possible to make combine harvesters which run on electricity, and that may be true. But where's the electricity going to come from to keep huge pieces of farm machinery running for hour after hour? And the production of modern fertilisers will be impossible too. Big companies spotting an opportunity want to get rid of farms so that they can take over food production in their robot-managed factories, with food such as fake meat made from chemicals. And there'll be genetically controlled food, of course. When we're hungry enough, we will eat anything. This is all part of the attempt to control the planet. If you think I sound paranoid, then you simply haven't been paying attention. We need to start planning and growing our own food if we want to eat well. Meanwhile, stockpiling food is like buying insurance. You just hope you won't need it. In poor countries, the effects of the economic collapse of the Western world will be devastating. The coup and the lockdowns and the social distancing will result in far more deaths than even I originally feared. Tens of millions will die of starvation every year as a direct result of this massive hoax. The coronavirus hoax, scandal, crime is going to kill more people than the most evil despots in history managed. In the second video about the second wave, I will explain what else they're doing, what they want, and how we can win this war, because it is a war that we're fighting. They want to take our freedom. We want to keep it. Wanting to keep our freedom is a stronger emotion than theirs. They're just fighting out of greed, but we're fighting for our survival. And that's why we'll win. Thank you for watching, and thank you for your support and encouragement. Please copy and share the video on Twitter or Facebook or wherever. And if you want to put on a translation, that's fine. If my videos disappear, please go to my website to find out where you might be able to see them. The transcripts of all my videos are always on my website, www.vernoncolman.com. Thanks again for watching An Old Man in a Chair. This channel has not been monetized. I haven't authorized any ads, and there's no sponsorship. If you want to see any more of my videos, please subscribe to my channel, because they aren't always easy to find. Let's spread the truth together. Thank you for watching.